The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
2 hours are down. I'm having a blast. I have so much fun when I do this show. Thank you guys for letting me be a guest host and come into Paul Feinbaum's chair for a couple of hours here on this Friday. I'm Peter Burns, and you can follow me or yell at me there on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. The number is always the same. 855-242-PAUL is that number. We're talking about Tyler Buchner going from Notre Dame now to down at Tuscaloosa. Going to be joining Jalen Milroe and Ty Simpson, battling it out, we presume, for the starting position after a lackluster spring game for the Tide as far as the QB position. Talking about the NFL draft, where does Will Levis go, Anthony Richardson at number 4, and anything else you want to discuss. How about this, though? Joel and Geraldine, there's a couple that called together. This is new to me. Hi, y'all.
Hey, Peter, how you doing?
I'm doing great. So give me the logistics of how this works. Like, are you on speakerphone and you're on both sides, or you're, like, holding it into the middle and talking? How does this work?
We're on speakerphone. Do you want us to get us off?
No. You guys sound crystal clear. I just wanted to make sure I'm understanding the dynamic when I have this power couple calling in.
Well, when you talk to us, we are like bread and butter. You can't mix one without the other. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, absolutely. I'm in. How long are y'all? I assume you're married. Is that correct, Joel and Geraldine?
Yes.
We've been married over 30 years.
And y'all still like each other?
Oh, absolutely. You know what? Peter, I got to tell you something real quick. You're doing a really good job, right, Joel?
Yes, you're feeling great, Peter. You're awesome every time you get on there.
Thank you.
And also, what reason why I'm calling about football. You know, you're talking about Georgia might run the table, and I'm kind of worried about Tennessee as well as Kentucky. What do you think?
I mean, it's a fair point. I mean, if you look at roster-wise, how am I going to put Kentucky or Tennessee roster-wise over Georgia? I just can't do it. I mean, you look at the recruiting rankings, you look at how many guys are returning, I lean towards Georgia. Now, the question is Will Levis, he's going to be gone, all right? So now you got, right, you know, Hendon Hooker, he's gone, even though Joe Milton's been there. But Carson Beck's been a part of that team. So even the quarterback position, I feel pretty confident that what you get out of Joe Milton is probably at least as good as what you'll get from Carson Beck. So to me, I'm going to have the Georgia Bulldogs at the top.
Thank you. Hey. And back to us, Peter, I'm going to tell you something. Not only do we've been together for like 30 years, but we work together. We eat together. I mean,
We're always together.
I haven't drove since 1998, so when everybody sees us, they always go, where's the other half? So what do you think about that?
I don't know if that's the most brilliant idea or the most god-awful idea. And I think day-to-day it probably varies, right? I mean, like, what's the biggest, like, you're both obviously big sports fans. What's the biggest sports disagreement that you guys have had as a couple?
Never had any sports disagreement because she don't like sports. One thing she likes is Georgia.
Mm.
And we are big-time Georgia fans, as you probably know. And that's why we're asking him, you know, what do you think about, you know, that we got that with that new rookie running back coming in for Georgia, Brandon Robinson. They say he's almost like a fullback, kind of take over for Milton. You know, he's hurt and all that.
I mean, again, I'm just baffled. I mean, 30 years together, married, working together, doing quote unquote everything together. It is you need to put like a self-help a booklet out for all of us.
Yeah, that's what Paul said. And you know what Paul would tell, Paul likes women talk callers, and I'm like, I'm just gonna let you call. And he goes, so she tries to call Mr. Burns, and he goes, Joel, wait your turn.
Yeah, but Peter, you gotta understand, it's a blessing. We're best friends. We love each other. I mean, I don't know what I'd We don't know what we'd do without each other. I mean, goodness gracious, if you're ever blessed to have somebody like my wonderful husband, and I'm kind of, not nice, but, it is what it is.
God bless you both, because you give me hope, right? We see so many negative things, and so for people to be in love like that, and it's awesome. I absolutely love it. I can't do that in my family because I'm an LSU fan. I'm married a diehard Alabama fan, and so like it is just it's like this all the time.
We're sorry.
I'm sorry.
Pleasure to talk to you guys, and I appreciate you guys calling in. All right.
Hey, my pleasure. Go dogs.
Y'all have a great weekend.
Thank you.
That was that's an experience. That's cool. I'm glad I got an opportunity to enjoy that. Red in Alabama. What's up, Red?
What's going on, Mr. Burns? How you doing, man?
Living the life on a Friday, man. Almost the weekend. We got the draft tonight at a little SEC baseball and softball. I'm in a good spot, my man.
That's what's up. Now, I heard everybody calling for you to have your own show. I thought you and Chris Dory sort of had your own show, SEC Morning. And I just thought I'd weigh in on that a little bit.
Yeah, Red, we appreciate it. Yeah, during football season, you know, I mean, we do the show every single morning. In fact, I did it this morning over on SiriusXM, but we only televise it and simulcast it like this during Mondays and Fridays of football season. But maybe one day that'll grow.
Right. I got you. Well, appreciate it, man. And roadside, man. Appreciate you taking my call.
Red, thank you so much, man. I appreciate that and the kind words. Let's go to Glenn in Alabama. What's up, Glenn?
Hey, Peter Burns, how you doing?
Man, anytime I hear that, it was funny. I was on the road a lot this week. I was in Tuscaloosa and Baton Rouge and some engagements, and people would come up to me, and they would go, Peter Burns, and I'm like, all right, it's a thing now. I like it.
Yeah, I like it, too. Hey, the new transfer from Notre Dame, Buckner, at first I was kind of disappointed in that, but since I've heard you talking about it, and I heard last night on the sports desk that Milton or Stevenson, they're not going nowhere. They're not going to get in the portal. They're going to challenge Buckner. So I'm glad to see that they're going to be challenging each other and maybe to bring the best out of them.
You know, Glenn, thank you for the nice words. And again, I think it's important. I think competition is good. Listen, think about what's happening in another sport right now. PGA Tour golf always had its own thing, right? And then LIV Golf came up, and a lot of people said, oh, I can't believe they're going this and that or whatever. But guess what? Competition helped the PGA Tour get better. It made it look at its own place and say, hey, listen, now somebody's trying to knock down the door. How are we going to get better? And I think you can use that and talk about the quarterback room at Alabama going, listen, you got two guys. But if you're going to have a relationship and you bring Tommy Rees in and he's had a relationship with a quarterback that needs a new place, well, why would you not add a little bit more competition? And especially when you go back and look at last year, what happened with Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly had Garrett Nussmeier. He had Walker Howard. He had several different quarterbacks, and LSU fans thought they were set. Brian Kelly in his first year said, actually, we need this kid, Jaden Daniels. Okay? Well, guess what? Jaden Daniels ended up winning the West for him, okay? So it can happen. The question is whether or not do they compete. By no account, I've heard of Jalen Milroe or Ty Simpson putting their name in the transfer portal, and I hope that they battle it out. Alabama as a whole will be better over it all. So, again, I know a lot of people that want to hate and say that Alabama's done and the dynasty is dead and this is an example of it. I think that's BS, right? All they did was add depth at a position, in a position in which you need it, especially in the transfer portal. 855-242-PAUL is that phone number. Let's go to Eric in Georgia. What's up, Eric?
Hey, I want to commend you for your understanding of the SEC ducking each other throughout the history of the conference. It gets even more. What I don't know how far Emerson went on his article, but when they went from 6 to 8, there was only one reason that happened, and that was Pat Dye. When they had the meeting discussing how many games to play, every other person in the room wanted to keep it at 6. But Pat Dye stubbornly said, no, let's play 8. And it went on and on, and they said, how about 7? He said, no, once again, 8. And he said, and as a matter of fact, we want to play from the East. We want to play Georgia, Florida, and Tennessee from the East. At that point, I'm not sure how Pat Dye wielded that much power, but they then agreed to play an eight-game schedule and have just two teams rather rotated from the West and one permanent, which Georgia ended up with Auburn. But the world has to thank Pat Dye personally for making an eight-game schedule. And this 8-9, you can bet the coaches are once again saying, I don't want to play nine, let's play eight. Hopefully public demand and ESPN can make that happen.
Eric, thank you for the phone call. What we're talking about and what Eric said was I had Seth Emerson on the show earlier today, and he wrote a fantastic article just going through the history of the scheduling of the SEC as they're debating 8 and 9. And again, I think some coaches are going to want 8. Some coaches and programs are going to want 9. The thing is, and as kind of visionary as Pat Dye was in saying we need 8, the biggest change that came about was the fact that television became such a major role, right? Because when all of a sudden, if it was just 6 games, well, you could go to a CBS or a distributor and say, we want X amount of dollars. Now, when you go to 8, that is going to be worth more. Now, ESPN and the SEC, they have an agreement that's going to be taken over soon. But it also is a matter of it's not as much as the SEC would love to go to a 9-game schedule. I guarantee you they're calling up ESPN and says, hey, if we add some more games, are you going to add even more money? That's part of the equation right now. So there's a lot of things that are going on. I assume that we will have a final answer here in about a month or so when we go into SEC spring meetings. I still think that we will go to a 9-game conference schedule. I think it makes sense for everybody, including television partners, and especially for you, the fans. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. Quick break. We're about 15 minutes away from being joined by Ryan Leaf, one of the great draft stories, and get his feedback on what that was like. And he said Will Levis was actually a big winner for falling in the draft. We'll get his thoughts in about 15 minutes. Until then, more of your calls coming up next.
You are listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back, Paul Feinbaum. Paul, taking a Friday off. Peter Burns sitting in the big host chair. You guys have been great as far as the phone calls and the tweets. At Peter Burns, ESPN. Back by popular demand, Jim with a compliment. Not for me, but for someone else. Right, Jim?
Peter, I got my mouth full with a delicious Chick-fil-A ice cream. Go hold a minute.
Wait, what kind of ice cream are we rolling with here, Jim?
Vanilla, man, it is really good.
Okay.
Chick-fil-A's got nothing but good stuff. They're really good.
Here's the deal.
I got my finger on the pulse, as usual. And I didn't realize that I was continuing a big trend today by saying, Peter Burns, Peter Burns, Peter Burns. And now you tell me all over the country, our man has made you, and I made Feinbaum. we're gonna have to get a duet. Me and I'm gonna get an NIL on colors of shows. What do you think, Peter? I think we're worth a couple hundred thousand at least, don't you?
I think, Jim, you and I-Man should do what Joel and Geraldine do, is call in together.
Thank you. That's why I called you. I promise you, you have got your finger on the pulse. That's exactly why I called you. What's his name? Geraldine and who?
Joel and Geraldine.
I thought that was great. I mean, I really think that's charming, good. That's good for the radio. It's good for the show. They were great. They were Southern charm. I like that.
I do, Jim. I'm a fan of it. Go enjoy your ice cream.
Wait a minute, Peter. This is the best show you've ever had. You don't want to get rid of me that fast.
Sorry, Pop. Okay, you're right.
Is that Randy laughing over there?
That is Randy. Yes, my one man studio audience, my hype man.
I'm back on Randy's side. Tell Randy to have a good weekend, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Okay, thank you, Jim. Y'all are on. You appreciate him?
Yeah.
Is that what you said? Okay, yeah. Randy gave you the thumbs up. We're having this kumbaya moment. What is happening here? It's a Friday. I like the positive nature here. Tanner in Tuscaloosa. What's up, Tanner?
Hey, Mr. Burns, how you doing today?
Doing great.
Look, I'm going to change the subject because I'm tired of hearing the same old conversation over and over again. But I'm a big football fan, and I'm thinking the postseason's got to change. I mean, yeah, we're expanding the playoff, and that's great. But all the other teams, the bowl games mean nothing. And I just think it'd be cool to see something like in basketball with the NIT, maybe another tournament, or, you know, how they have the SEC Big 12 Challenge, something different. But what we have now just isn't – it's just not interesting, you know.
Yeah.
Sugar Bowl was great this year, but I just – you know, it just wasn't interesting.
Tanner, give it another year, right? I'm really kind of curious because we're getting ready to get into college football, kind of what I call 3.0, when we get an expanded college football playoff and there's 12 teams in the playoff. Right now, I'm with you. And I think there is a fatigue of, wait a minute, some of these bowls that used to be a big thing, they don't feel big anymore, especially when guys are opting out of the games and the stadiums look kind of half empty. The appeal, the allure, the romance of bowl games has changed. Now, before you go out and change all of it, I'd like to see what the 12-team playoff looks like going forward and then kind of recalculate, you know, what these bowl games look. Listen, the coaches still do like it because you get all the bowl practices. Fan bases like to go. And at the end of the day, like, guys want to play football, right? So I'm not going to fault them if they want to play. And if they don't want to play, that's fine as well. Just put the next, you know, group of recruits or freshmen out there and see what they can do and kind of build towards next year.
Oh, I will agree. Like, you know, it's better than no football.
Yeah.
And, you know, the bowl games, they've always been there. So, you know, they do have some nostalgia to them. But I just think with the expansion of the playoffs, it's only going to make them more irrelevant. But I hear your point, and just great show today, and talk to you next time.
Have a great weekend there, Tanner. I appreciate the phone call. George is in Tennessee. What's up, George?
I've got an opinion on this 9-game SEC schedule.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you're an advocate of that. 8 games is enough. I played probably 50 years ago, and I know that SEC games will wear you out. Seems like somebody gets hurt in every game. So by the end of the season, if you play a 9-game schedule, by the end of the season, you'll be playing Ohio State with all their starters intact, and we'll be running second-team guys onto the field because we've had so many injuries. I mean, it's ridiculous to me, a 9-game schedule.
I get it, and that's the other side of that conversation is to go, well, wait a minute, like, you know, why are you going to beat up on each other if that's the equation? And you're right. I mean, it's the best football, the hardest, the most physical football is being played here in the SEC, and you're going to guarantee one, at least an SEC squad, there's going to be 9 more SEC losses if you go to a 9-game conference schedule. So while I understand that, I still believe that it's the best, because if you're able to get a little bit more dollars and cents on the television deal, the fan bases, think about that as well, too. If you're paying, if you're in Florida, you're at Alabama, you're at Auburn right now, and you're paying for a seat license, and all of a sudden you got four tickets, but you're paying, you know, $10,000 a year, and you don't really get great games, that's a tough pill to swallow. And I think at some point fans are going to look at that and go, why am I going to the games if I don't have really good games to go to, or I get them every other, you know, third year? I think that's one of the reasons why that they want to have better games, is to reward season ticket holders as well.
I disagree. we'll agree to disagree, okay?
That is a fair way to put it. We should have more conversations like that. Thank you, George. All right, coming back up, we've got Ryan Leaf. A fascinating story, what NFL draft night was like for him. And Will Levis had a great night? He'll explain that coming up next here on the Paul Feinbaum Show.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back, Paul Feinbaum Show. Peter Burns sitting in for Mr. Feinbaum. You can follow me on Twitter at Peter Burns, ESPN. And, you know, when you have the NFL draft, you have such a big show and a big platform like this, you want to make sure you have the best guest on. And I'm honored to be joined right now by Ryan Leaf, who this was, I thought it was a very astute way of putting this, of explaining why Will Levis, quote unquote, won the first round by going undrafted. I thought there was a lot of people that got caught up in, oh, the slide and whatnot. And Ryan, when I saw what you had to say this morning, I said, man, I got to reach out. I know he'll probably say no, because I know you get 100 of these. So I'm honored that you get a chance to, you know, that you could come on and talk to me about it. What do you make of that? Will Levis going undrafted, and why will it work out for him?
Well, I think you start off with the idea that, you know, in the situation for me, I didn't have a first round grade on Will Levis. So if he were to have been drafted in the first round, that would have been a reach. Somebody would have had to go up and feel like that was a risk they were willing to take. But when that happens, there is a lot of expectation placed on somebody, especially if they're a top five pick. They have no say in when they get picked. And, you know, I think the teams kind of did him a service last night, because now, if he gets picked up by, let's say, the Rams at around 35, he gets to sit behind Matthew Stafford. Certainly doesn't have all that baggage weighing on him. And, of course, if he, you know, isn't the player that I think a lot of people think he is, you know, he doesn't have to wear that anchor around his neck that says bust. And I think that's a meaningful thing. I think that can go a long way for your mental health and everything as a player. And because most people don't have successful NFL careers. I mean, the length of a average career is 2.8 years. So I just felt like he was a second round pick. Therefore, he should be drafted in the second round or later. That's what I hope teams do. And I just don't think enough teams are held accountable for doing things like that. Because, like, if Anthony Richardson doesn't, I mean, there's a 50-50 shot on this. Mm-hmm. He didn't have a lot of data from college. I mean, he could be great, but if he doesn't do well, like, the Colts can just come back the next year because of the rookie salary cap and draft another quarterback a la Josh Rosen to Kyler Murray. Mm-hmm. And the team, the Colts, don't wear the anchor of bust. Now, you know, maybe I'm too close to this. Maybe I'm projecting a little bit because of the way my career ended and I think the moniker that I get. But I think it bears fruit. And I just wanted to express that today for a guy that went through a tough time last night, and maybe humbled him a little bit, and maybe he could take a really unique kind of look at it as the sun came up this morning heading into round two.
Ryan, you could talk about Ben Roethlisberger upset that he fell all the way to the Steelers. That worked out. Aaron Rodgers, I mean, that was the famous draft night slide, and it worked out for him as well. It's such a unique perspective, because going back of what those expectations were, We don't talk enough about the mental health aspect of what we're asking these student athletes to do. You lived it. What is that pressure like when you're supposed to be this all, you know, all world second coming?
Well, I mean, I thought I was, right? I was being told that by everybody. And sometimes you got to have somebody looking out for you. You know, the agents usually aren't, because the agents think the higher you go, of course, the more commission they get on the deal. You need somebody in your corner, and the teams naturally aren't that, right? If they believe that you could be the difference maker for their team, they'll do whatever they want to do. You have no control over where you go. Would it have benefited me for me to go, let's say, in the second round to Denver, like Brian Griese did in 1998? Yeah. Yeah. Did I want to? No, I wanted to be the best football player I could be. And if I was getting drafted first or second, that meant I was that much better than everybody else. But sometimes, you know, we just need people looking out for us on those types of things. I know there's a lot of money involved, and I think people stop thinking about the human when there's all that money involved. And unfortunately, that affects a lot of people. Now, clearly, situationally, there are different issues. Like, you know, was it me? You know, hi, was I the problem? Yeah, you know, unless I changed who I was ultimately on how I dealt with failure, there was always going to be a problem. I don't see that as much with the players coming out these days. I think they're more mature. I think they're more prepared with social media and everything that goes into it. NIL is going to play a big part in all this, because I thought that for a long time was a variable you couldn't quantify. You just simply didn't know how a young player was going to deal with life-changing money. You may get a pretty good idea now, because guys may be coming into the NFL having made, you know, millions of dollars through that process. So those are kind of the things I'm thinking about. And I just, you know, to your point, I think people get lost in the idea that they are human beings that happen to be incredibly good at playing football. But because of all the money, they're kind of seen as just this asset.
Walk me through what that's like when someone hears their name, and take me through the CJ Stroud, second pick. You were the second pick of the draft. What happens then? Right. I mean, like, give me the whirlwind of what the next 24 hours is like when you are that high pick of the draft.
Well, you have to have a keen perspective about what it is. And for some, they do a really good job of restarting. And when I go and speak to colleges, and when I go speak to young players that are about to enter the NFL, one of the biggest things I say to them is that you have to see yourself as the CEO of a Fortune 500 company, especially if you're a quarterback drafted in this league. And you have to understand that it starts over, right? Everything you've worked for to this point has gotten you to this point, but it starts at the beginning again. And a lot of us, me in particular, I don't know if I ever really restarted the engine. I just kind of thought I could continue to do what I'd always done and everything would have been, you know, hunky-dory. And that's not how it works. You have to, at this level, the top 1% of the 1%, it's a grind. And so walk into the locker room for the first time, find a guy that's played 8-10 years in the league, walk up to him, ask him how he did it, and then follow his advice verbatim. And so sometimes when you're supposed to be the leader of men at 22 years old, you don't want to do that. And in a time where stigma existed, it felt like weakness to say something like that. And I think guys are better about that. I think guys are willing to. And I've seen it. I've worked with Joe Burrow. I've worked with Trevor Lawrence on their way into the NFL. And guess what? They sat in a room with me and didn't look at me like I was someone that couldn't help them be better because of my career and not meeting those expectations. They actually listened and, you know, maybe thought in their mind, I can learn something here so I don't make the same mistakes that Ryan did. And that pleases my heart completely, because I don't want anybody ever to be as miserable as I was or not be able to achieve or live that dream that they've always wanted to do. So that's the advice I give the guys when they're heading into the NFL.
I think a lot for us, as far as myself as a fan, we think, hey, man, they get here, they get drafted, especially if they're high draft pick, and it's a kumbaya moment. Everybody's like, oh, my man, we're here, we're going to crush it. How big are the divisions when you get to a team? Do you have to break down those barriers? Because I got to think some guys are thinking, this kid is making a lot more money than I did right now, and he might come across entitled. How do you break those down?
Well, I think the rookie salary cap went a long way, of course, to evening it out a little bit more. But you're exactly right. There has to be an ego check, and you got to have guys that are in that locker room that are capable. Luckily for me, I had the likes of Junior Seau and Rodney Harrison, guys that were veterans, Aaron Taylor, who played for Green Bay when they won a championship. So I had some guys that could kind of, you know, pull the reins back a little bit on me when I started to get too out of control, thinking I was, you know, the greatest thing out there. And so that those are the types of things you need. You got to have some veteran leadership, you have to be able to understand fully that you have still so much to learn. Your physical talent is off the charts. If you are a first-round draft pick, if you are a second-round draft pick, if you are a draft pick, period, you have more talent than anybody that plays the game of football. So, therefore, you should be able to go out and pretty much compete. Now, what do you do as a leader, and how do you view yourself? There has to be a humbling that comes with that. And unfortunately, a lot of times when you're a real high draft pick and there's the money that comes with it, you know, there's some resentments from others, and there's an unwillingness to kind of, you know, start at the bottom, which is where you always started. It just, you are told for the last 6 months since your football season ended that you were the greatest thing out there. And now you have to get back to the team concept and understanding of that. Many guys can't do that, but the great ones can.
It might not be 6 months. It might be 6 years where you've been told from, you know, 7-on-7 football or camps, like you're the next guy, and you get hangers on. And at some point, how do you separate that? You've been doing a great job mentoring. Ryan Leaf joining us here on the Paul Feinbaum Show with Peter Burns. And Ryan, when you look at this, I don't think that there was a shock CJ Stroud going 2, Bryce Young going 1. We thought about that. Anthony Richardson, what did you make of the Colts deciding to go with a young man that's only started 13 games?
It's incredibly risky. I mean, it could have a huge payoff. You better have a plan in place. I've heard Ballard, the general manager, speak, and Shane Steichen speak to the idea that they're going to be patient. Unfortunately, we've seen when a guy's drafted that high, there really isn't much patience. Like if Gardner Minshew struggles in a couple games like he did in the 2 fill-in games last year for Jalen Hurts, everybody in Indianapolis is going to be clamoring for Anthony Richardson. And as much as I want him to be a success, I seriously don't think enough people have been advocating for him in about what needed to be done here. And so, again, I didn't have a first-round grade on him. I only had 2 first-round grades this year, and that's Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud. So this, of course, was a reach. This was a reach, and now he's got a ton of expectation on him, and he's got to go out and perform. And maybe he has the mindset to do so. Maybe he can deal with failure in a positive and healthy way because he's going to fail. Everybody does. It's just how it is at the NFL level. And that would be wonderful that he has that ability and understanding to do that.
Can it happen, though? And the only reason why I say that, I'm so happy for Anthony Richardson. My God, life-changing money, like generational money that he gets. And it's an SEC guy. But I worry because I saw, Ryan, the lack of confidence he had even in some of the SEC games in which he should have been throttling opponents. He wasn't there. How can you go in a golf term of saying, hey, I just shot 81 from the members' tees, and now they're expecting me to play the tips and break par? Is it possible to take that jump?
Well, he's a freakish athlete. I mean, that's been proven, right? So he has the physical traits to do it. If Shane Steichen, who was incredible with Jalen Hurts, I don't know if there could have been a better fit for him, for a place to go where he could fit into an offense where if this year it really comes down to him using his feet a lot more, kind of developing an idea of how to read defenses and pass, maybe. My only fear in all this is because of the rookie salary cap, that you can miss on a quarterback, right? You can. We saw it play out with, like I said, Josh Rosen and Kyler Murray the next year, the number one overall pick. So unfortunately, if that were to happen, let's say that plays out and you go, we took a shot, didn't work. But Anthony has to kind of, you know, walk off and kind of head into the corner. Mm-hmm. You know, where's the accountability from the team? Does Ballard get fired, right? Does Irsay bring that down? But what about Jim Irsay, right? Where's the accountability there? Yeah. When those lists come out, and they do every year, no matter what. And I figured that out about, 11 years ago that my name wasn't going to go away. So every year there's that list. Who's the biggest draft bust, right? And some of the names that pop up are always mine, Jamarcus, Johnny Manziel, Tim Couch, things like that. But you always see just our names, you know? You never see the team with it. So when they put my name there, why isn't the San Diego Chargers associated to it, or Bobby Beathard, right? They made that choice. We had no say in it. They picked us at that pick. Those expectations were there. And that's what's on Anthony Richardson right now. I hope he blows it out of the water. Yeah. I absolutely hope he kills it and he is an all pro, all of those things, because I never want to see a guy fail or see a guy. But there has to be some accountability there for others who make the choices for these players. All we've decided to do, plain and simple, is we want to play pro ball. So we tell everybody we want to play pro ball. If you want to draft me, draft me.
Yeah.
And then you got to go do the work. And sometimes it works out, and sometimes it doesn't. Your confidence for an elite athlete, you would think it could be, you know, good all the time, but it's on a sharp razor's edge, and you can really fall off on one side or the other. Especially if a city that thought you would be the savior, all of a sudden 2 weeks later or a couple bad games later, they're just like, we need to find a new one. You know, we need to move on.
Yeah.
They were doing it with Trevor Lawrence a year ago. They were doing it with Justin Fields almost into this offseason until Ryan Poles made the decision to stick with them. So it's a fickle beast out there. And I hope Anthony Richardson has a unbelievable career. I worry about him.
Yeah.
And maybe that's just me. Like I said, maybe I'm too close to it. Maybe I'm projecting a little bit, but you know, I care for these guys when they get these opportunities.
My man, I wanted honesty and transparency, and I knew I would get that from you. What a great perspective on what these guys are dealing with. And I love your library of rich mahogany and leather-bound books behind you. I mean, you've done all right.
The move to Connecticut has treated us well in the Leaf family. But we do have the little Montana aspect of it. I got my whitetail that I got with my bow when I was 16 years old. So I'm pretty happy about that one.
I love it. We'll tee it up soon, my man. Ryan Leaf, thank you for the time, all right?
You bet. Take it easy, Pete.
There it is, Ryan Leaf. Great just insight and perspective about, you know, not only what happens on the field, but the mental aspect of what these players are dealing with. More of your phone calls coming up next. 855-242-PAUL is the number. I'm Peter Burns in for Mr. Feinbaum.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
A&M Arkansas, great game last night. Arkansas added two late to win game one over there in Baum Walker. And then we get to see the Florida Gators, fourth ranked in the country. Jack Haglione taking on the Missouri Tigers at 7 p.m. and always streaming live over on the ESPN app. Earlier today, we showed you a tweet from Nicole Auerbach that said Illinois Chancellor Robert Jones says that he believes unequivocally that the Big Ten is the nation's premier athletic conference, and that the commissioner's job is the most important in all of intercollegiate athletes. So I asked our research team, I go, is that true? Andy Choplin, we decided combined team national titles in the last 20 years, who is the dominant one? Now, mind you, the Big Ten has them in ice hockey and fencing and a bunch of different places. But I said, let's compare apples to apples, okay? Who is the superior conference? Is it the SEC or is it the Big Ten? It's not even close. We knew that. Five times the amount of national championships. And I loved last night on the draft, they're like, well, it's no longer the Power Five when it comes to conferences and players getting selected. It's the Power Two. It's the SEC and Big Ten. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's the Power One. That's what it is. I mean, you're talking about the last 15 championships. How many have they won, the Big Ten? One of them. That's it. One. 11 for the SEC. So stop comparing it to the Power Two. It's not that, okay? Maybe in television revenue, that's about it. The SEC clearly is a big difference between those two. And I think that's one of the things that we're going to see, especially right now with the transfer portal. Okay, you're going to see guys like Bear Alexander that leave Georgia and they go to USC. You're going to see one of those guys. But what you're going to see is, because of the fan base that you guys are a part of, because of the facilities, because that you've got all these people that show up for baseball and softball games and whatnot, it just means more that the transfer portal ends up helping this conference. They know that. So it's not a Power Two. It's a Power One. Five times the amount. I didn't know it was that big. I thought it was going to be a big difference. Whew, monster. Heather Dinich going to join us next. Andy Choplin, thanks for that info. The Queen coming up next.